Hello, everyone. It's Jesse Gasparo. This is the Practical Christian Podcast. With me today, we have Jesse Baptiste.
Hi, guys.
And we have Brother Steve Campbell.
Hi. Nice to see you again.
Good to see both of you. Our question today is, how can Christians apply their faith in the workplace and navigate the line between sharing their beliefs and respecting the beliefs of others? Very good question. Yeah. I think we can all relate to this kind of question in our minds. So, Brother Steve, do you want to open us in prayer and then you can lead us?
Sure. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we are very thankful for this opportunity to share a little bit of time together. Thank you that your word is a great resource for us, and it is consistently available for us. We have your spirit to help us apply your word to these necessary questions. And we pray for the one who submitted this question, and we are thankful for it because of how relevant it is for so many situations and for the need for us to consider this subject. So we ask that you will guide us and bless us, and bless all those who are taking part in listening and in the presentation of this too. We pray for your blessing on what is done behind the scenes. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so as you were saying in the introduction there, Jesse, it really is something that I think we can identify. I was giving a little bit of thought to trying to find an example in the scriptures of Christians working with unbelievers. And I kind of had a little bit of a difficult time finding just that precise, scenario. But maybe we could turn to Acts chapter 17, because I think there's a few principles here that we could find in this chapter. So I'll just kind of point out a few things that I was thinking of, and just along the way, I'll mention first that sometimes people say, should we even have unbelieving friends? Should we even have unbelieving acquaintances? And maybe we should be very careful about spending time with people who aren't Christians. But we won't turn to 1 Corinthians, but I really appreciate that in 1 Corinthians, there's several examples of Christians interacting with unbelievers. In 1 Corinthians 5, it talks about, you can't leave the world. If you're trying to never talk to people who are sinners, well, you'd have to leave the world. And that's not what the Corinthian Christians were told. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it even describes a scenario about saying, well, what if you're a Christian and your unbelieving neighbor or friend invites you to dinner? Go if you want to go. That's kind of how the scripture puts it. If you're disposed to go, if you're interested in going, go ahead. Go have dinner with your unbelieving friend. So it's definitely, within the realm of scripture to have unbelieving friends and acquaintances and to be having those kind of conversations. So in in Acts chapter 17, just a couple of quick little points that I might suggest for us to start with. First of all, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 16, Paul ends up in Athens. He's in the city of Athens. And he didn't actually expect to be in Athens. He was just kind of waiting there for Silas and Timothy to meet him. It mentions that in the previous verse. But while he's there, he sees all the people in the city. So like he's attentive. He's paying attention. He knows what the city is like. He sees that there's a lot of spirituality in the city. In fact, it's all kind of empty spirituality, because it's a lot of idols and so on. They don't know the truth of Jesus Christ, but he sees the city. He knows the people. And so he goes in verse 17, he goes in the synagogue where there's religious people. And then he goes in the marketplace in verse 17. And so he talks with people who are interested in, spirituality, and he just goes into the marketplace where people are doing business. So I kind of picture that as maybe our workplaces. You know, he's out there, he's talking to people. And when we're in the marketplace, you know, every idea can get mentioned. And Christianity has just as much right to be mentioned as any other idea. He's just out there in the marketplace. And some people are talking about, you know, Athena, and some people are talking about Hermes, and some people are talking about Zeus and all the other gods of the Greeks. And he starts talking about Jesus and the resurrection. And people say, well, we want to hear more about this. And then a third point is that when he starts talking with them in a more public setting, he talks to them about their own history. And he talks to them about their own poets. So he can, you know, refer to current events. He can refer to the history that's shared by the people. He could talk about the arts, and he can bring that into, you know, a spiritual conversation. And then as a fourth point that I would make, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, he can explain the Christian view very, very plainly. Like, he gets to the point where he says, you know, there's a God who's going to judge the world, and he's going to judge the world by someone he raised from the dead. And he starts talking very plainly about this fact, the Christian view of who God is and what God is not. He doesn't look like, you know, beasts and winged creatures and so on. And there's a God who knows right and wrong, and he's going to bring justice into the world. And he has made plain who the judge is going to be, because he raised Jesus from the dead. And so Paul presents all these things in terms that are, you know, relatable. They can connect with them, the people that he's with. Hmm. Of course, all of this in a workplace context is a little bit different, because we have our work to do also. So we're not just going to be, you know, I taught middle school. I wasn't going to just let him walk up and down the hallways of the schoolroom, you know, handing out gospel tracts. I had a job to do. And, you know, we all work in different jobs. And so we have to do our job. But in the conversations that we have with our colleagues, these are some of the things that I thought seemed to be helpful, to be, you know, ready to speak and find a way to connect, and to be plain about what it is that we do believe. Hmm. Maybe that's a place to start anyway.
Yeah, I was, I know I've definitely felt this kind of dilemma. You know, you have to be careful, because certain jobs, you could lose your job if they, like, you know, depending on how and what you're doing in terms of that kind of conversation, right? Like, a teacher, you can't be preaching the gospel to your students, like, just up in the front of the classroom. That's, like, you can get in serious trouble. And, you know, we have jobs because we need to pay for things and afford to live here and, you know, be able to, you know, exist in the world. So it's not, you know, and sometimes the Lord's placed you in certain places. So we have our jobs, everything we do, Scripture tells us we need to do it as unto the Lord. And there's an aspect of being a light and being a testimony that is through action, you know, not just our conversations, but, and this is something that, like, sometimes people take too far, where they're like, I'm not going to approach them with the gospel. I'm going to wait for them to notice, you know, that there's something different about me. That's a lazy reason to not preach the gospel, but there should be something different about you. Right? Like, the way you speak, the words you use, the words you don't use, the way you talk about your boss, the way you talk about your spouse, the way you talk about your kids, the way you respond to negativity, all of these things, right? We have an opportunity to display Christ that they won't see, right? And so, you know, maybe they're like, why don't you curse? Why don't you do this? How come you're different? There's an opportunity, right, to share something. And even in, like, the little small talk, right? Like, what did you do this weekend? Oh, I went to church, or I was at this church function. I was working at this camp that we, you know, we, you know, it's a Christian camp where we do this. You have little opportunities to let people know that you're a believer. And sometimes those will kind of snowball. And sometimes people are interested. Oh, like, what is that about? You know, and I've personally had coworkers who were searching for something, right? Mm-hmm. And they're searching for answers. There's stuff going on in their life. And you have an opportunity to share the gospel. And then there's other times where it just comes up organically in conversation where they're like, oh, you're religious. Can you answer this question for me? And they'll know things, right? They'll know things about you. You spend more time often with your coworkers than you do with your family, you know, on any given day. So you spend a lot of time with these people. They're going to start picking up on things that are going on in your life and what matters to you. And so there's definitely little opportunities. And you know, it's very, depending on the job you have, depending on what's required of you, it can be easier or harder to kind of, you know, share the gospel, just, you know, straight up give them the gospel. But sometimes your life and the actions and how you live is a gospel message.
Yeah. I think this is the opportunity for every Christian to be an evangelist. Mm-hmm. I know some people don't, you know, they may not have the gift of evangelism, but you can go out and you can be a walking, talking gospel. People are watching what you do. People are watching what you say. As you said, like, you know, if you are a Christian and you get into the workplace and you suck the air out of the room, I mean, like, you know, you're negative, you're complaining. It reminded me of that scripture. It says in Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, you know, you can be like, oh, I hate this boss. Oh, you know, we have to do this again, you know, and you can have that attitude. It may seem okay, but they're watching you and you can cause them to be discouraged. You know, we're supposed to be, it says that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. We're supposed to have a light shining. When a light is turned on in a room, it brings kind of like, it makes you feel relaxed. It makes you feel, it's a presence that, you know, and if we're the light of the world at our jobs, we should, when people come in, we should be an encouragement. We should have a joy that we bring to that room, that we bring to that job. And so I think that's one thing that we can do. We can be encouragers, right? We can say, hey, you know what? I know it's hard, but, you know, we'll get through it. You know, you can be an encourager. You could be someone who, you know, they come to for advice because they realize, look, you know what I'm saying? You know, this person has a positive outlook in life. It's not because we're just positive, because we're doing it unto Christ. It says everything that we do unto the Lord with our heart, right? And so if we have that joy, I think we can kind of like, you know, help other people. And then we can be like, one of the things that we can do, I know sometimes you can't share, you know, in many jobs, you know, you can't share, you know, your beliefs that much, but you can say, hey, you know what? You know, they come to you and say, you know, oh, I'm going through this tough time. I say, you know, I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? You're not really sharing. Then they'll be like, oh, are you praying for me? Like, you know, like, where are you praying for me? At church? And then the conversation, they initiated the conversation, not you, right? And so it's not where they feel like you're pushing this, you know, agenda on them. But it could be something where we can, as the Bible calls us, to be lights in the world in this, you know, crooked and perverse generation. But we shouldn't be doing with complaining and disputing and you know, and being thing to our bosses, being a very you know, insubordinate and you know, stuff like that. So
yeah, I really appreciate that perspective. If we're gonna be a witness for the Lord, we better have a lifestyle that goes along with it. I remember reading I think it was a fiction story, but it was about a Christian teenager, and somebody said, hey, listen, you have all these Christian bumper stickers on your car, but you're a terrible driver. Yeah. And the Christian teenager said, oh, well, I think I'm going to, I think I better change my driving habits. And his friend said, well, listen, you could just take the bumper stickers off your car. And he said, listen, it'll be harder to get the bumper stickers, scrape them off, than to change my driving habits. It was just kind of a funny story. Yeah. But yeah, just in the workplace, it's so true that, you know, people have the phrase about the daily grind for a reason. And work is, it's a, you know, it's a place of a lot of discouragements for different reasons. And yet if we have, you know, if we go into that workplace and we realize, you know what, God put me in this workplace. Mm. Like, you know, Paul didn't have on his agenda, I'm going to stop in Athens. He just, all of a sudden he was there. Mm. You know, we don't know where we're going to get a job when we start out our careers, or our work lives. But there we are, you know, we get a job somewhere, and those people, God gave us those people. There's the example, in 1 Corinthians 7, where it says that, a Christian husband, somebody gets saved, and already is married. But his wife is not a believer, or maybe the other way around, the woman is saved and her husband's not a believer. There's this phrase, it says, the family is sanctified by the fact that one of them is a Christian. And it doesn't mean the family's all going to heaven, but there's something special. There's something holy about that family. God looks at that family differently because there's a Christian in that family. And I think we could kind of extend that to our workplaces. You know, there's a Christian in the break room. There's a Christian, you know, working on that part of the, on that part of the house, doing the building and doing the plumbing, whatever it is, you know, doing the accounting. There's a Christian in that pace of employment, and that's us. And so we have a responsibility. And I like what both of you were saying about the way we choose to speak. We can choose intentionally to say things that just kind of reveal who we are. You know, it not only would we maybe get in trouble if we just spend all our time preaching the gospel, but it's not really fair to the boss, right? The boss hired us to do a job. Mm-hmm. The employer hired us to do a job. We should do the job. But like in the middle of doing the job, the things that we say, those are some great phrases that you mentioned. You know, I have a friend at church who, and just all of a sudden that reveals you go to church, right? And or, you know, is it okay if I pray with you about that or pray for you about that? And it just kind of reveals who you are. I wrote a couple other phrases, like if the conversation starts to get a little deeper, or we get to know people a little better, like sometimes we can ask our colleagues, you know, people we're working with, well, what's your spiritual life like? Hmm. I actually knew a teacher who, when her students were, she was a Christian teacher, and if her students were having really, really difficult times, you know, just personally, sometimes she'd find an opportunity to speak with them privately, and she would say, well, what's your faith tradition like in your family? And she didn't necessarily, you know, give the gospel to that person, but just kind of bring up the subject. Even one time Paul was on a ship in a storm, and he said to the people, I believe God. It's in Acts chapter 27. And he just said, I believe God. And he's telling them why he believes God. But even just that phrase, you know, I believe God, that there's something very powerful about that.
Yeah. It's the other thing I was thinking about when we were talking about this is praying for opportunities, right? Mm. Paul asks for prayer in Colossians 4. In verse 2, he says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And so this is the Apostle Paul, right? We've talked about how good he is about taking whatever whatever's going on and somehow weaving it and being able to direct it towards the gospel, right? He's asking for prayer for this. You're like, you're already so good at this. You need prayer for, you need opportunities. You need, like, you also need them to pray that you would speak the word, like that you would make it manifest, right? And so this is one of the best, you could say this is one of the best gospel preachers ever. And he's asking for prayer, for opportunities, and that he would make it manifest the way he ought to. And so if he's asking for prayer for this, then what's on me? Shouldn't I be doing the same thing? And then the thing is, like, if you're praying for opportunities, like, you better not be surprised when the Lord gives them to you, because you do it, you're gonna start noticing little opportunities to start sharing the gospel. And so when you're praying it, I think it's like Paul did. I think it's wise, pray for opportunities, but then also pray for the boldness and that you would manifest it the way you ought to. And he, you know, the Lord is able to work, and, you know, he was able to use a donkey to share his news. He can use us, right? That's, I think Martin Luther said that, but it's, you know, we have a God who answers prayer. If we truly are, you know, it seems like there's real genuine sincerity here in this question. Like, they want to share the gospel and they want to navigate that water that's sometimes so difficult. Just pray for the Lord to help you, because he will. And the Lord is able to kind of bring up opportunities. And I also appreciated that you touched on that last part of the question, right? And respecting the beliefs of others, genuinely being interested in what they believe, right? Sometimes you come so hard with the gospel, like, it doesn't matter what they believe, like, you have to believe this. Like, no, ask them, try to find out where they're coming from and what they believe. There's a really nice book by Nabil Qureshi. He was a devout Muslim and his best friend was a Christian. And they were constantly trying to win the other person to their side, right? They were constantly sort of preaching the gospel to each other. One was for Islam and one was for Christianity, but they were best friends, right? And so they loved each other so much that their whole goal, they were in school together, they were classmates, so it's a little different setting, right? It's not the workplace, but they were constantly trying to convince the other person. And the foundation there was friendship, right? It wasn't like they were trying to, like, destroy their religious background and completely undermine everything they've ever believed. No, they were trying to show them what the truth was. And so you can sometimes have those conversations and respect the beliefs of others while still trying to show, you know, what they had. And even Paul is able to kind of toe that line where he says, I see all these gods you have. I see everything. I see you even have an altar to the unknown God. That's the one I want to tell you about. And so he's able, and obviously this takes practice, right? It's not like this is something you develop. And, you know, that's why you ask the Lord for wisdom and opportunities. And you're not going to hit a home run every time you swing the bat, right? That's just not how it works. But you might plant a seed, you might water a seed, and the Lord's the one who's responsible for the increase. So we just leave it to him.
I think I like that point about praying for the opportunities. I think that's a serious thing, because when in scripture, when it says redeeming the time, right? It's making the best use. It actually means making the best use of the time, right? So we need to ask the Lord for the opportunity, because what we don't want to happen is when that person, you know, is, you know, under judgment, and then you turn around, well this person was my coworker. He never even, he wasn't a good example to me. He never shared the gospel with me. And that's the worst thing that you want to do. Is want to spend, because you spend a lot of time with your coworkers, sometimes even more than your family, right? You're with them, you know, for majority of the day sometimes. And so, you know, you want to be able to have that opportunity. And so we have to pray for those opportunities, because we don't want to, by our actions, cause people to be discouraged, or by our misaction, not, you know, sharing the gospel with them in one sense. We don't want them to head to hell. And so you know, I like that encouragement that we should pray for opportunities and try to seek our opportunities by the Spirit's leading.
Yeah, and it's such an important point about then having the boldness to step up when the opportunity comes. I appreciate what you said about when you mentioned Jesse G about not hitting a home run every time. I mean, I know I whiffed on opportunities. It's like the Lord, you know, puts an opportunity in your lap and you sort of get scared and you're like, well, I don't want to say too much. So you just, you know, you look back and you say, I said nothing. But there are always opportunities. And if people start to know who we are, you're a Christian. You believe Christian things. You know something about the Bible. You know, you attend, Christian meetings. You pray, and these are things that will, in a way, it almost helps us to avoid some of the pitfalls at work. People know who we are, and they won't talk the same way around us sometimes. And you know, thankful for that. Just a little more on this subject of showing respect also, because that is a very important aspect of this question and comment. When people really start to want to engage us in more in-depth conversation, sometimes it might be a little pushback. You know what? Well, okay, you're a Christian, but there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people have faith in different things. And why do you think Christianity is so good? And so there are some opportunities there to just think about how to say things. Sometimes people will state their views and we will disagree categorically about some of those things, but we can say something like, well, I see that a little differently, or I see that from a different perspective. And then, you know, we have the right to say our perspective too, but you know, we don't want to get drawn into a shouting match. Mm-hmm. Another nice phrase that can be helpful is something like, well, the Christian view is, or the Bible view of that is, you know, it's not just here's what I think, it's here's the Christian view. You know, you don't have to, you can take it or leave it, but here's the Christian view. Or even just the matter of, you know, what about, you know, why do we think there's a God, or why do you think you have to do this or that? And a nice question could be, well, if there is a God, what would he want from us? You know, if there is someone who is as great as a God, what would he expect from us? And then I also would just say that when people start to engage in that conversation, we don't have to, as Christians, we don't have to address every single thing they say. Because there's a lot of things we'll just kind of get put out on the table. We want to be good listeners and just kind of, you know, touch on the main points. The Apostle Paul, coming back to the Athens example, you know, it was said that in Athens there were more gods than people. That was the sort of the joke about Athens. It was a proverb in the ancient world about how many gods, tens of thousands of different gods in the city of Athens that you could, you know, pick and choose. And Paul didn't go down all the line and say, well, this one's not true because of this, and this one's not true because of this. You listen to the main ideas, and you touch on the main ideas. We don't want to get drawn into, you know, minor details in this kind of discussion. Yeah. Just because somebody said it doesn't mean we need to answer it. We want to, you know, be effective and just kind of hit the high points and also maintain the relationship, because if things are challenging, we don't want to, you know, talk in such a way that it was not a nice conversation. We want to be able to speak well, and we'll have to think about things like morality and sexuality and the history of American slavery and all the things that are, you know, very legitimate questions that people say, well, why do Christians think about this, and why were things done this way in the past? And we're going to have to be able to speak plainly about, you know, some difficult things. But you know, if the Bible can stand, and that's something we can have confidence in. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ is a message that is plain and simple and powerful and transformational, And that's something that I think in all of our experiences, we can take comfort and have confidence in that.
I wonder if there's another aspect of this, which is not talking about, but suffering at your job. That's what we might be called to do too. And I mean, like they have happy hour at some jobs, right? You're not going to be able to go, right? As a Christian, right? And that could be something that could stop your advancement, because, you know, sometimes a social thing, right? You know, people, you know, they like to advance people who they hang out with, or they have a social connotation to, or they might have a party that, you know, or that you're not going to be able to go to. Or it could be other aspects of things that you're not going to be able to do, and you'll be tested in that sense. So you have to suffer for Christ's sake too, on the job. But I think it's something that we have to be mindful of, that we are called to suffer as Christians. We will, because we're in this world, we will suffer, and so we have to be mindful of that also. I'm not saying that it's all going to be suffering out of one thing, but I'm just saying that there might be certain instances that you might have to go through. And for instance, like you know, you may you know, have to, they might have somebody who may want you to compromise yourself, right? You know, you can't do that as a Christian, right? And also another thing, as you stand up for the Lord, the enemy will test you, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, and the first thing, they may never said, oh, you're a Christian, but the first thing you do something wrong, I thought you said you were a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing, is that there are people, they're watching you, and they're waiting for you to mess up, and you have to be mindful of that. And that's why the Peter says resist. You have to be careful. He's like a roaring lion. He's looking to accuse you of what you've been doing, what you're doing, or what you've done. And so that's why we have to have people with integrity. When the boss is not there, we gotta, you know, think. And I love this guy I used to work with, and he was a Christian, and he always, like, you know, he wouldn't clock out before four. He said, you know, I'm clocking out for you. Everybody be out. Like, Jesse, let's go. It's 3:30. It's 3:30. It's 3:20. Like, you know, he's not here. Let's just head out, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And thing, he used to always say, I'm staying here till 4 o'clock to clock out. And I always respected that, right? I mean, like, he was a person of integrity, even when the boss was away. And I think it's the same thing. In Philippians, it talked about what Paul talked about in a different sense. But he says, you know, as you always obeyed, not as in my presence, but now much more in my absence. That, you know, I want to relate that to this, is that, you know, that we should be a Christian like that. Even as our Christian walk, we should be like that. But also in our jobs, we should be like that, where when the boss is not here, it's not like where the cat is away, the mouse will play kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? It's we have people of integrity, that whether we are, people are watching us, and they're watching to see thing. I don't want my actions to kick somebody into hell, right? Because they're going to say, well, he's a Christian, he's acting like that, right? You know what I'm saying? So just the way our actions can encourage, our actions can discourage people and point them on the way to hell too.
Yeah, and I think it's also helpful to remember, like, this isn't like we're preaching the gospel to someone we're never going to have another opportunity to have a conversation, right? These are people that you work with on a regular basis, sometimes every day, 5 days in a row. You see them, you talk to them, you get to know these people, sometimes years. You're with these people for years and years and years. And so opportunities are going to come up, and, you know, maybe you missed an opportunity. Just pray that the Lord gives you another one. And you know what? Maybe he gave you an opportunity, and maybe you didn't say things quite right, or you messed it up, or you got, you know, kind of heated with the conversation. You got too, and, you know, just pray, Lord, please help me. And so sometimes you can have a conversation, and you can pick up a conversation later with that same person and say, you know what, I was thinking about what you said, and, you know, here's this point, you know, and so there's little opportunities to continue on with these opportunities. And there's always kind of that, you share the gospel, you feel responsible for them to accept the Lord. And, like, that's not your job, right? Yeah. Your job is to present the gospel. Your job is to live it out. And your job is to let the Lord work in their lives, right? Maybe you're just planting a seed, and you know, you might never see the fruit of it. You know, there's so many stories, so many testimonies where there are people along the way that, you know, shared the gospel with them and they weren't ready at that point to accept Christ. Maybe it's 20 years down the road where another person shares the gospel and that's the point where they were ready. And so, you know, don't get discouraged if you find these opportunities and you take advantage of these opportunities and you don't see fruit, because that's the Lord. The Lord is the one who's going to give the increase. And so we have to just leave it with him. So sometimes these things can be, you know, it's not always going to be, you know, super encouraging all the time. And sometimes it's tough and sometimes it's hard. And, but you just, you know, you work at it and you kind of, every day is another, there might be an opportunity. So just be ready and be kind of looking for them. And it's a journey we're on, right? We're here to kind of be lights and glorify, you know, let our light shine, and that they'll see our good works and glorify the Father who's in heaven. So there's an element of, you know, just you do your job to the best of your ability. And when you have these little opportunities, you can find time to have these conversations.
Yeah. Great question. I'm very thankful for the time to talk about it with you guys.
Amen. Thank you for whoever submitted this question. Obviously, you can tell that we've all felt this ourselves. And it's, you know, it's, I think most Christians kind of have this question in their minds as they go to work every day.
Yeah.
And we're grateful for these questions. Please keep sending them in. We would ask for prayer for this podcast, that you would continue to pray for us. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate you helping. And, you know, just God bless everyone.
All right. Amen.
All right,
I work on my outro.